list. It's on here. Possibly diagnosed with MD. They just okay. That's a good sign. Okay, yeah, keep him in your prayers. How's Evelyn? Where's Paul? Are they in here? I don't see. Did she? Okay, good, good. Evelyn Black, Paul Rainey's sister, she had an aortic valve replacement and triple bypass. Went well. And the Burnett family, keep them in your prayers. I saw Chris today. I didn't get a chance to see him. I just kind of saw him walking by. So, okay, good. Just keep them in your prayers. Anybody else have anybody that they want to mention? Anything you want to mention? Good, good, positive, indifferent? Okay. Muriel's not here. I assume it's her birthday, and she's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I need to say that or not. Sometimes my brain starts working faster than my mouth does, or actually my mouth works faster than my brain does, but I was just saying maybe she's just hungover from last night. You know, her birthday was yesterday. So. Oh, really? Shannon said that the other day. She saw that Alabama was going on tour this year. Yeah, I think it would be great. Yeah, okay. All right. All right, well, let's sing happy birthday to Muriel. We got to make sure we stay in the habit of this, because if ever I miss a Sunday, I want to make sure everybody still sings happy birthday to somebody. So we're going to do it real fast. Ready? And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Muriel. You're not here. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, she missed that. That's like awesome. That was awesome, especially with me leading it with a microphone. All right. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer for us to get started. Mr. Hamlet's going to continue in a wonderful series about the prophets. And, of course, he's got a picture of Saturn up here. It's not Saturn?
Sol Invictus, the sun god. Sol
Invictus. I'm not going to say that. Helios. Yeah. Oh, all right. I was supposed to talk about the bucket. It's a bad bucket. It's got tape on it. It's, oh, you mean just like the stuff around the bucket. Okay, it's Sunday school. It's the children's ministry. I'm going to pass this around, get started. And if you would, bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this class. Thank you for Mr. Hamlet and his knowledge and of the prophets. And I just pray that you watch over him as he teaches us more about that. Give us the... help that to give us the motivation to do our own studying, to get into your word even more. Lord, be with Barrett, Evelyn, and the Burnett family. We each and all have our problems and our issues that we come to you in prayer, and some of them are, they are all problems, but I do ask that you be with each of those we've mentioned the situation that they are in. Well, thank you so much again for this church, for this class, and I ask you to continue to watch over and bless each of us. It's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.
And hello, friends. Good morning. You know, so far we've studied about how in times past, the pagans would, in the vernal equinox, they would celebrate the worship of Baalim and Ashtaroth, the female and the male gods, by sometimes in the spring day, when the night and the day were about the same, they would go out and they would hold up rabbits and eggs and they would shout and pray at the dawning sun. We talked about that. Today, you know, when we celebrate Jesus' Resurrection Day, they have eggs and rabbits, sex symbols. We don't know why, but we do. And nearly everybody was born on December the 25th before they ascribed it to Jesus. You remember that I told you that in the days of Amos, which we've already covered, we talked about he saw people wearing the sign of Kiwan or Saturn around, and the birthday of Saturn or Saturnalia in Roman, if you kids and are you kids? Well, I guess you are to me. I'm 79, but anyway. When you studied about Italy and early Italy and the Roman Empire, December 25th was Saturnalia. And not only that, it was the birthday of Apollo. Helios, or Saul Invictus. Now, I've drawn on the board up here another one of those paganisms that has infiltrated our faith, and sometimes people actually believe it. Constantine, who was a Roman emperor, I know you've heard of him. Constantinople was named for him, and supposedly he was fighting against another emperor named Mezentius. And the battle was going going back and forth. Just one little bad thing could have caused him to collapse. And supposedly, I mean, right in the middle of the battle, he looked up and he saw a cross in the sky. You've all heard the story. That may be myth, but anyway, supposedly he became a Christian. And he worshiped, up to that time, he was worshiping a Syrian sun god called Saul Invictus or Helios, and I've drawn an image of it up here on the board. Now, if he became a Christian, now he did not get rid of all the other pagan religions, he just made Christianity for the first time in about, you can check me out on this, 315 AD, it became, for the first time in the Roman Empire, a legalized religion. But since he had become a Christian, and since he had worshipped Saul Invictus, and since he had, or Helios, this means unconquerable sun, or Helios, another word, it means sun. What he did, since he had become a Christian, he had to modify this. He got rid of this sun disk right up here. He got rid of it because that didn't really fit the new image. This is the way Helios looked, or Saul Invictus. And he just made it into a halo. Now, a lot of people think that Jesus had a halo. I mean, it really is. I've taught classes before when I've told them that Jesus didn't have a halo. They were shocked. But that's where the halo came from. And also the long hair. Do you know that the Bible tells you in 1 Corinthians 11:14 that long hair on a man is a shameful thing? Now, do you believe that Jesus, who had hair like this, would tell the Apostle Paul that long hair is shameful if he had long hair himself? Well, no. Now, we are going to get to Micah. I promise you. I want to tour guide you through these, and I guess my ending date, I guess, with you is August 8th. I think that's when I clock out. No, that's fine. August 8th, because it's really, I really don't have much time. But anyway, I will, I hope I don't bore you to death, because the prophets are, to me, see, they are symbols of faith. I was a time card Christian. My wife and I talk about this some. You know, I went to church. I never did do anything bad. She never was ashamed of me for my behavior. I didn't chase women and hang out at bars. I didn't drink. But I was a time card Christian. I just went to church. You know, God was good, and you know, but I never, he wasn't, I don't know how to say this. He wasn't really real. He was there, and I felt kind of like I should say I love God, but I don't know that I understood him enough to really love him like I should have. Does this make sense? You know? But after I got to reading the prophets, and even the book of Genesis, Genesis 49:10. Oh, that's a good scripture. Here Jacob is talking. He's an old man now. I think Jacob died at 147, if my chronology does me right. Genesis 49:10. There are many scriptures through the Old Testament that tell about the Messiah, and that he's coming. That's hope for you and me, folks. I don't know how to say this. I don't want to cause you discomfort, but the common concept is Jesus comes down from heaven, angels, he gathers the sheep, And he gets the goats over here. The goats burn forever, and the sheep go with Jesus to some abstract, comfy, mollified heaven. But I don't know that the prophets predict it that way. Have you ever read Revelation 5:10? He tells that the saints will rule with him. Now, whether it's on earth or heaven, that's no big deal. But it's a kingdom with Jesus as king. He's going to come. And so what they have, Jonathan, they have, there's 150 times in the New Testament it talks about the kingdom of God. Now, stories about Jesus and the 10 lepers, that's a nice story and everything. But it's not preaching the kingdom of God. But the prophets do. Over and over again, they see the Messiah coming. They see him ruling over governments. They see animals being calm and kind. Babies crawling over snake holes in Isaiah. That is the kingdom of God. They also preach that Israel will be restored. Even Ezekiel, if you take his numbers and you go to the order of Artaxerxes and you add the number and you multiply it times 7 like they say they do in Exodus, you get 1948. You take Daniel's numbers talking about the Savior. You do your math. It comes out that in the year when Jesus would have been 30 years old, and your Bible tells you that his ministry began when he was 30 years old. Do you think you get this out of the Vedas, the Quran? Now, speaking of the Vedas, I'm going to talk about that before we go to Micah. We are most lucky. We all believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, you should. The being that can make a human eyeball, make male and female. And of course, if you've seen the interview I had on Amazing Grace, I believe the earth is 5.6 billion years old. I don't think it's 6,000. And I believe the dinosaurs existed before Adam. And a lot of people get upset when I say that. I believe that pre-Adamic world was destroyed when the devil rebelled, and I believe he's real too. I do not believe that he's half goat and half man. I believe, like it says over in Isaiah 14, that he's beautiful. He's powerful. He's beautiful. He's intelligent. And you and I worship this Messiah. Isn't it marvelous to know that Jesus is the Messiah? Isn't that comforting? Over and over they tell about the Messiah, which you and I believe to be Yeshua or Jesus or Joshua. We know that to be true, and it's comforting. From time to time I meet religions, and we're going to do that. Before this series is over, there's several things I'm going to do. We're going to take the Hindus today. I will not do the Muslims next Sunday. I won't do that. I've got other things planned for you. And then I am going to use, before the series is over, why God does not answer prayer, or the prayer to unanswered prayer. And I think that I can, I think I can make a point with you. But how many of you have ever gone to a little place, especially anymore, a little 7-Eleven or a little, you stop, we hop market, and there's somebody from India in there? Well, there's more and more, and I'm not a jingoistic person that doesn't want them there, you know, but anyway, I do talk to them. And I have worked out before with guys who were almost a rishi of the religion. And we would talk back and forth. And I'm going to pass on to you about the Hindu religion, compare it to the Bible. There are four Vedas. It's spelled like this in case my aging voice comes out and it's too raspy anyway. Vedas. There are four of them. It's written in Sanskrit, and it was written in northern India by an Indo-Aryan people that came in. And you say, have you ever read it? I've read some of it. I've read all of the Quran. I have not read all of, I just can't do it. I've tried to do it. It's like reading War and Peace, except it's convoluted and it's inconsistent. The first Vedas deal, and they're written before the Bible, our Bible. You can tell they're written by inspired people, inspired by themselves. Not inspired by God. The first Vedas, Larry, are dealing with songs and praises to their gods. And one of their gods is Brahma. Another one of their gods is Vishnu. And then here is Shiva, or if I deal with a certain Indian from another part of the coast, he calls his name Siva, S-I-V-A, and, oh yeah, one more, which you're all acquainted with, Krishna. How many of y'all have heard of the Krishna people? They say H-A-R-E in front of it, Hare, which is not his name. That is what his followers call him. That when Krishna, they say the name over and over, Krishna, then they go start saying Hare Krishna. Hare means Lord. I used to walk into airports and I'd see some guys with finger symbols and look like they had gauze underwear on, jumping around like this with real bad haircuts. And they go, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they'd have symbols. I was not a very good audience. I didn't purposely frown at them, but they could tell that I probably wasn't going to be a convert. Krishna is an avatar for Vishnu. Shiva is the bad guy, or Siva. Now, remember now, I told you, some use the H and some don't. And then here is Brahma. Brahma was the God who made the world, according to the Hindus. And he floats along the top of it. He just finally told the other gods, you can have it. I'm out of here. And he floated to the top, and he just kind of slumbers over in a peaceful, kind existence. And that's kind of like nirvana. Free from worry and stress. He just goes, oh, and here he goes. Round and around. How many of y'all, when you were in high school and college one, studied the transcendentalists? Did you? Henry David Thoreau and Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Margaret Fuller, who was something else, and a man named Alcott. I could just go down and name some of America's top intellectuals. They would meet at a place called Brook Farm, and they would pull down the shades, sit, you know, maybe in a lotus position or in a comfortable position, and they would just try to empty out their bodies. They would try to get past the five senses. They would try to transcend, and they would go, and they would just think like this, and they would try to join up with the great oversoul, our Brahma. Now, these people who did that, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, Margaret Fuller, Alcott, and others, they were all members of the Unitarian Church. I don't know that there was anybody that was from the Baptist Church or the Church of Christ there, but anyway, that's where they were. But anyway, to transcend the senses, they would go and try to join up with this great oversoul. Now, Vishnu is the good god, and Krishna is his avatar, and Shiva or Siva is the bad one, the one that causes storms and troubles. There are so many gods and goddesses of the Hindus, it's hard to keep up with them. But these are the major ones. And then I tell you, there's no prophecy. There's no geography. There's no stories about, or statements or prophecies about the restoration of a country. Now, we are going to get into Micah. I'll get you out of here at 11 o'clock. But like the others, he prophesies that Israel would be restored. Now, I've talked to you that not only in 1948 was Israel restored, they have fought 8 announced wars with the Arabs. And guess how many wars they've won? 8. It's 8-0. You know how many unannounced wars? 12. You know how many of these unannounced wars they won? 12. They've never lost. Amos says that Israel will never be, once it's restored, will never be destroyed or uprooted. And they all say the same thing. I want you to notice this. Here's their job. Micah and all the rest of them would go to their local communities or their country, or in Amos's case, out of his country, and you would tell the citizen and the kings, stop worshiping idols. Can you be that foolish to fall down in front of a stick? That's what Hosea would tell his people. He said, you fall down in front of a stick and ask him to give you your fortune, and it's a stick. Are you an idiot? And he said, God will send you into captivity. Hosea tells his people that the Israelites will go into captivity 3 times and they'll go to Assyria. They never miss. Not like this. And Jesus is real. He's not like this. He didn't walk around. Can you imagine if he'd had a halo and he... You remember all the times he had to escape into the crowd? You imagine if he had a 75 LED circle going around his head, how well he could have escaped? It's ridiculous. What you and I need to do is to, when you read these prophets, realize they don't ever make mistakes. And you know what? They worship the same God that you and I do. And when they tell you something that Israel was going to be restored, and it's been restored, since 1948, and the Israelis have fought all these wars and they've won, does that not build your faith? Here's Israel. It's there. And then they not only did they predict that, they said, talk about the kingdom of God. And in the New Testament, the kingdom of God is mentioned 150 times. 150 times. Did you know in the last chapter of Acts, Paul is under house arrest, and you know what he's talking to his guests about? You can turn over to Acts and check me out. He's talking to them about the kingdom of God. Telling stories about Jesus is not the kingdom of God. I mean, that's a nice story, you know, Jesus and the 10 lepers. But it's not the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, comes to earth or comes to wherever, a new earth, or if you're in your view of heaven. But he's going to rule, and there'll be no unhappiness. And he'll be called Mighty Counselor because people will go to him for advice. He'll be called the Great Physician, Larry, because there'll be no more diabetes. There'll be no more leukemia. This is something you can believe in. It also helps your faith. You don't have to worry about the funeral home so much. It takes the sting out of it Because you believe. Look at Israel. And those same men who told you about Israel and it's established now, tell you about the kingdom of God. Can you believe it? Say yes. You bet. Now Micah, wow, what a tremendous man. What a tremendous man. And if you're a clock watcher, don't worry, I'll get you out of here at 11. I promise. I've only been doing this for 80 years, Joy? 87. Micah lives in the town of Moresheth. It's 24 miles southwest from Jerusalem, and not far from it is Lachish, which is an outpost similar to, in our area, it would be like Fort Camel. A lot of soldiers there. Are you with me? It's to keep the Philistines away. And I pronounce it Philistines because, and the reason why I do so is because the Romans, after AD 70, to irk the Jews, called the land after the people that lived there. Philistines, they called it, and not using the H, they called it Palestine. That's the reason why I say that instead of Philistines, in case you wondered if I was a little weird or something. Well, I am a little weird, but what the heck. Micah tells everybody, he says, look, he predicts the Assyria is going to fall. Now remember that little slogan I asked you, a little mantra I gave you. All Jews are Israelites, but all Israelites are what? Are not Jews. If you remember that and we keep that in mind wherever we go, Jonathan, all through the Old Testament, up until after the Babylonian captivity, you can understand the prophecies so much better. And remember, too, all of them will refer to Israel as Ephraim, Jacob, or Israel. Israel, Ephraim, or Jacob. And that's the way it'll be in prophecy. When we get over to Ezekiel, Israel will have been vanished 150 years. And did you know Ezekiel, a Jew? Well, he was technically a Levite, but he was called himself a Jew, and others called himself a Jew. He predicts things for Israel, and they have been gone 150 years. But if you don't understand, and you think Israel is Judah, and then you read it, and then you have contradictions and things don't come out right, then you go, I give up. I'm going to go back and read Acts. Isn't that the truth? My friends, God is real. The kingdom of God is real. The nation of Israel is real. The church that we belong to, you should honor and be glad to be in it. It is a collection of great citizens trying so hard to learn more and encourage each other for the kingdom of God. We're the called out. It's a wonderful thing to be here. It's a wonderful thing to be called a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to believe in God. You must. Anyway. In Micah 1:2-7, he predicts that Assyria, because of their sins, because of idolatry, because of taking the poor, taking the land away from the poor, because of a class struggle between rich and poor, the rich were taking advantage of them, ignoring the Mosaic law, going by the laws of the old Canaanites, they would just repossess, take, and enslave. He said, Samaria will be destroyed. Now, you probably say to me, well, if I lived back then, I probably could have predicted that too. Yeah, you're right. That's not so big, but he did say this. Samaria would be destroyed and never be rebuilt. It never has. Everything they say comes true. It's all come true. Isaiah tells you that Babylon eventually will be destroyed and never rebuilt. Nobody has ever rebuilt Babylon. Jeremiah says the same thing. Jeremiah goes on to tell you that Nineveh would be destroyed and never be rebuilt. It's just a pile of ruins outside the Arab city of Mosul today. All you got to do is rebuild it. Prove the Bible wrong. They're never wrong. Ever. I mean, does that not give you confidence? Doesn't God become more real? Not have some abstract goodness, but a real being who loves you, cares about you, wants you to be in the kingdom of God. Not only that, this may not impress you, but it does me. The Jews, he turned to them and said, "You look, you're doing a whole lot of the same things that your cousins did, the Israelites." He said, "Babylon is going to come." Now, Babylon, I mean, that'd be like for me to go up to Big Joy Seals over here and say, "Big Joy, you need to go vacation in Muncie, Indiana." I mean, it sounds awful. Go up there to the power plant, stay at the El Cortez Motel. That's no good. I mean, it'd have the same effect. Babylon was nothing. 150 years later, Babylon came and took away Judah. And you heard Russ this morning, and he did a very good job, by the way. But anyway, he talked about how that the temple hill that Micah and Jeremiah 26 predicted that the temple hill would be plowed. That was a two-part one. The Babylonians did come. Just like Micah said, and they captured Judah and took them into captivity. They plowed the temple hill, but they didn't plant thickets or cedars on it. And some people thought that Micah missed. AD 70, the Romans come. They plow the temple hill. They plant cedars. You think I'm exaggerating? You think that I'm overdoing it, that I'm trying to use hyperbole? I'm not. They are never, ever wrong. As we go through and I tour guide you through the Bible and through these minor prophets and major prophets, I want you to know we must continue to realize that Israelites are different than Jews, so you don't get mixed up like all of those make-believe critics on YouTube. I remember I was approached sometime back by somebody, and I believe it was from here at the Madison Church of Christ, and they said that they had read in Jeremiah where Zedekiah, the last king, the one that Russ spoke about the Sunday before last, Jeremiah said that he would be taken to Babylon. And then he said, and I also read where Ezekiel said he would never see Babylon. It's kind of like, aha! You know what happened to King Zedekiah? He was blinded. They blinded him. They did awful things to his sons. I won't go there. Just terrible things. Then they poked his eyes out. He was on, they carried him on a little cot all the way to Babylon. He went on a hunger strike and died. So did he ever see Babylon? No. Again, 100%. Thanks, folks. Thank you so much for honoring me by coming to class. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about Micah again, do a rehash, and then go straight to Isaiah. Marvelous man. Bye for now. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I should have been a whole lot quicker. I didn't realize how all the baptism we said.
Oh, that's fine, brother. I'm glad that we are having them.